from your Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth. And Lord, right now, this evening, Father, as we would just spend some time in your word, Lord God, and in your presence, Father, we ask and pray for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to be with us in this time. Lord, we leave every care, every concern, Father God, at your feet. We ask and pray that you would wash us and cleanse us in the blood of Christ, and Lord, that you would just empower us and strengthen us by your Spirit to walk strong with you. And Father, we do bind every demonic spirit and every work of the devil. We cast it out, Father. We pray, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' name. And Lord, let every word that's said be according to your plan and purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So last time we finished a series on kingdom living. And tonight we're actually going to start getting into something different, but still the same, but it's an element of something we need to talk about, I guess, a little bit. John chapter 10 and verse 10, this is a scripture I like to reference a lot, but it's because it's an important one, it's a key one. John chapter 10 and verse 10, where Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Okay. Now, the new series that we're starting is called Freedom. Ultimately, and when Jesus said that he came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. What is that abundant life? What does that mean? What does that constitute? You know, I mean, the world, these are things that, you know, sometimes you got to stop and you want to start asking certain questions because the world has a presentation for anybody that will look and give it time of what it says that life here in this world can and should be. The world, just their presentation of life here. What it is that they say will bring you happiness, what it is that they will say brings you fulfillment, what it is that they say will be the life that inside you are designed to have. See, we were made a certain way. We were made in the image and the likeness of God, but also born into corrupted flesh. So you've got those two dynamics right there. You're made in the image of God, made in the likeness of God. But you also, bless you, you also have, you also are born into this physical vessel that's encoded a certain way, that's basically, you know, on its way to the grave, but you'll be in it for the season that you're here in this planet before you go on into eternity, and you get a new body and all of that stuff. But while you're here, You're in this. Now, the aspect of you that was made in the image and likeness of God has certain things that it desires, certain things that it craves as such, in that aspect of who you are. Like, you were designed to be creative. You were designed to create. You were designed to exercise the gifts and the talents and the things that were God given, put in you. You were designed to be free. You're made to be free. You weren't, like, you know, sometimes have you gone to like the Colombo Zoo or something like that and you see those animals? It's been a long time since I've been there. But like, I remember going, you know, to, and like, you go through there and you see, you know, here's a cage and here's this, you know, baboon. I mean, it's like, and he's in this little tiny box, and it's like, well, he wasn't made to fit in the box. You know, he wasn't made to exist in that spot. And he is existing in there, but he was made to be, you know, out swinging from the trees and all of that, and that was what he was made for. But he's living in an existence in his captivity. He's existing there, but that's not what he was made for. You know, and so inside of, and there's actually with a lot of zoo animals, they get used to captivity, and if they ever try to go back in the wild, it's like they don't know how to even function anymore. So they're traumatized. So we as human beings born into this world, you're born into captivity and you need to be set free. And you, once you're set free, you have to like walk in that freedom and then also learn, okay, this is what it means to be free and how you walk free as a child of God. Now, Jesus will take somebody through that process. The world will seek to keep you in the zoo for your entire existence while you're here. And it will give you an illusion of, oh, this is what your natural habitat looks like, Mr. Penguin. You know, here's the snow on the ground and here's the AC coolers, and but you're still in a prison. Now, we've been made for a particular purpose. We've been made for a particular reason. Every one of us, again, is made unique. Every one of us, again, is made with certain inbuilt gifts, talents, abilities, desire, that are God-given. And part of the waking up process for us here in this world is a discovery of those things. See, so when the Spirit of God quickens you to the relationship that you can have in Him, and you surrender your will to His will, and you ask for and you receive that forgiveness that comes in Christ Jesus, in that process and in that that event that takes place and that revelation that takes place, you're beginning this journey of walking with Him and out of the illusionary world. Now, as you're walking out of the illusionary world, it's a progression. There's some things that take place because, you know, the world has so many hooks in people. So but you desire something because you were made a certain way. You desire there's a certain fulfillment that you look for. You desire. Now, the world understands that. And so what it does is it seeks to offer you substitutes for those desires that will again enslave you back into the system. So, you know, for example, you know, people want, how many people do you know that want to be famous? Okay, but they want to be famous. Well, why? Let's talk about it. Why does somebody want to be famous? What's the reason and the purpose that somebody wants to be famous? But if this world is transitory, and if you're passing through this place, what does it matter if anybody knows who you were, why you were here or not? Why is that important if this world is a passing thing? Why is it that people desire so much to be in that position? Well, okay, the programming of the world says that if you are prominent, you are important. If people recognize you, if people see you, if people... So that's the programming of the world is, look, if you're famous, you're somebody. If you're not famous, you're a nobody. Based on how much attention you get from the world and the world system. Which is a huge lie, because, I mean, I know enough and more celebrities and enough and more people that are in positions where they have social recognition. And those that have done it, and basically it's, you know, there's those that have sold out to the world system to try to be in those positions are some of the most miserable people. They themselves are not their own at all. They're complete slaves. They have handlers and controllers around them all the time that tell them, you know, okay, here's what you wear, and here's where you have to go, and here's the things that you have to do, here's what you have to say, you can't say this about this, you need to say this about this, you need to promote this, here's the brands that you're endorsing, and basically it's like there is no freedom for them whatsoever. They have a certain position, and in that's, they're a creation of the world system, and the only reason that they're there is because they are financially expedient for those that are in position, that are behind the scenes, and as soon as they exhaust their viability, they do away with them. And I know you'll probably not like me saying this, but Michael Jackson is a case in point along the same lines. Poor guy. But in their system, nobody's life is worth $500 million.
Even from one abuse system to another.
He went from one abuse system to another. I mean, he's the epitome of... he's the poster child for the world system and Hollywood and all of what that is. I mean, you know, I mean, I hope that he had some connection there with the father. I don't know, but whatever the case is, you know, and, I mean, if he was hurting kids or whatever, he would have done that out of his being hurt as well as a child. But whatever the case is, you know, it's like he was a product of the system. And being part of that, you know, from initiated from a very early age, there was no freedom for him throughout. His whole life he was bound into that. Now, and how many people want that? Because what they think it is and not what it is in reality. There's a difference between the lie and the actual truth of what things really are. So for us as people of truth, what we're looking for is the absolute truth. We want to know what is true, what is real. Because, okay, contrast the lie of the world system, which is, look, here it is, you, if you're prominent, you're important. Versus in the kingdom of God, where somebody comes into connection with the Spirit of God, and out of that connection with the Spirit of God, you find out that you are important because he puts that value and priority on your life, period. And because you are a priceless possession in the eyes of God, which you are the most valuable thing because he paid the highest price possible, even in his own blood. The blood of God was literally shed for your redemption. No higher price could ever be paid. So that you could be redeemed and bought and paid. And he's, because of the value that he saw in you and wanting you and wanting me. So knowing that, I realize, wait a second, I am important and I have eternal, immeasurable value because he puts that value on my life. Now all of a sudden, I don't need to be a celebrity. I don't need to be in a position of prominence or importance. I don't need anybody to ever know my name. Because I'm okay with him. And that's what's real. Two completely different worlds. One is a place of fulfillment. One is a place of absolute misery, which is the world system, where these guys are scratching and clawing each other for these positions, going to the casting couch, doing all of these things just to try to get for their 15 minutes of fame and stay on top of the molehill for a little while. You ever play that game as a kid, King of the Mountain? A King of the Mountain is where there's like a big, like tall hill or like, you know, like a sand mound or something like that, or just a dirt mound, you know, construction site, so you play this game, where like, you know, one kid will get on the top, and basically the whole thing is to stay on the top of this thing. So other kids will come up and try to get up there, and if they can push you off, then they go down, and then you try to go back. But basically the whole goal of the game is just to stay on the top of the hill. And there's always someone trying to push you off, and you're just trying to stay in that position the whole game, if you can. What? No, but it's basically that's what the system is. And so the people that stay there and stay in that position are some of the most savvy, conniving, cunning, backstabbing. There's a reason that, you know, there's a reason that these celebrities marry producers and all those other things. It's business moves. Not necessarily true love. But anyways, we know the world system screwed up. We know it's just a horrific end for anyone that will sell out to it. But now in the midst of that, okay, for God's people, God came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Also, scriptures tell us that He came to set the captives free. Now, we were made to be free, and we were also born into captivity. Okay? So He came that to set the captives free, recovery of sight for the blind. You know, He came to do that, and He does that. Now, what does that freedom constitute, and how do we go about actualizing and walking in that freedom while you're here? Because, for example, the book of Galatians is a case in point. There's 6 chapters, very good book to read sometime, where you get people that are free, and all of a sudden, as soon as they're beginning to walk in that freedom, another group of people called the Judaizers show up and seek to bring these very people that are walking in the freedom in Christ Jesus back into a brand new form of bondage to keep them from being free. Because the world hates it when it sees anyone free. The system is designed to keep you from that. So it'll repackage something, put a godly label on it, whatever it is, but just to get you wrapped back up into the trap. Now, what does that freedom mean? What does that freedom constitute? What do you and I need to be set free from? See, there's some things that we need to be set free from to be able to really walk in what God intended for you in the first place. You know, you were made for a purpose. You were designed for a reason while you're here. And well past this and going on into life after. So in that process, what is it that you and I need to be set free from? Well, there's a few things that, you know, a big one is your thinking and your mind, that in the way that you think, which is at enmity with the way that God thinks. Ultimately, for your thoughts and His thoughts to be one, and basically for your thoughts to default to the thoughts of God, is the consummation of spirit, the Spirit of God in you. And that's something that you, as you walk with Him, it's something that is available and can happen with you. But it takes a work on His side for sure, but also a free will decision on your side to pursue that and to seek that and to want that. Go to Matthew chapter 7. There's other things as well, but which we need to be set free from. But I'm just going to start with this one. Okay, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again." Okay, I'm not going to go on into the next verses, because sometimes we don't catch the first couple of what that even means. And so then everybody's like, oh, you know, don't judge your brother. You know, oh, okay. I read verse 3 and 4 anyways. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Alright, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye." Right. Usually people go into verse 3 through 5, and that's where they end up talking about. I want to focus on the first part here. It says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye met, it shall be measured unto you." Again. Now, this comes back to us. And, you know, usually when people read something like this, they think of it in the respect of God judging them. So they think of it like, okay, if I judge somebody else, that God's going to be the one to judge me. based on the standard that I put on somebody.
The world is judging you.
Yeah, based on the, but something that I've discovered, and even recently, is that when you put something on other people, from the reflection of your own heart, it bounces back to you. If, okay, let me see if I can explain this.
Like, you sit drunk for somebody else and you fall into it.
Okay, like, all right, my buddy Zeph in the States, he's talked about this one, and I'll bridge off this analogy. He used the example of a mirror, and basically, like, when you are alive, you cast a reflection. When you pass through the mirror, it's like passing into the world side, into the world system. You go to the other side of the mirror, and now you no longer cast a reflection because you're no longer on that side. It's the whole vampire analogy. Where if you're on the other side of the mirror, you don't cast a reflection anymore, you don't exist anymore. But now you're on that side, and now on that side there's certain things, you know, you have to feed off of the living to stay, to get your life. You can't be in the sunlight. You know, it goes through all those things, but all the vampire movies are based on the analogy of those that have crossed over into the world system. Right? You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah.
I thought I was smart figuring out the Matrix thing.
Okay. This thing about so that's definitely there. So actually when you watch a vampire movie now, you can watch it with a whole different context. But now for those that are on the side of the living, those that do cast reflection, when you put something on another person, for example, if you shine a flashlight at a mirror, that light will bounce back at you. If you shine a blue light at the mirror, you have a blue light that will shine back at you. If you shine a red light at the mirror, a red light will shine back at you. Whatever it is that you project out is what comes back to you. So, if you put something out there on us, so if you judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye met, it shall be measured unto you. When you put that out there on someone else, and it's something that you have created within your own heart, not something that's come from the Spirit of God where He's quickening you, there's a difference. The Spirit of God will quicken you and show you, if it's Him, here's places to make adjustments, here's places to make changes. That's coming from Him. That's different than you, out of your own worldly programming, bless you, because the world will program you a certain way, where if you are programmed a certain way, where when you then try to put that on someone else, that bounces back to you. And you get a reflection of that. And usually the byproduct of that is another form of bondage that then you live with your whole life while you're here. So for example, religious systems of the world where they will, you have somebody that's there and then their desire to control and to create man-made systems of rules and regulations of do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. And then if somebody's not meeting that standard, that criteria, now they are falling short of what our expectation is of that. So now here's the guilt and the control and all of those things that are there to be put on you. And now, in that process of putting all of that on you, it bounces back on those people that do that as well. And the byproduct is they themselves are not happy. They themselves are not fulfilled. They themselves are bound in their own hearts by the very bondage they seek to put on someone else. And in the end, they live with that throughout. Now, one thing that God wants to set you free from is whatever it is that binds you even in your own thinking. Because see, there's certain ways that we're programmed to think by the world and from our season of captivity as such that we spent in it that we need to be set free from. So like you and I need to allow him that process and surrender to that process where he reveals and shows, okay, this is a place where you need to be set free. And this is not the way that I think about this situation. This is not the way that I think about this person. This is the way that you've created, not me. And in that process, he then also sets you free. For example, let's go through the fallacy of the perfect life. Let's talk about the fallacy of the perfect life, which goes along the lines of, if you just have blank, you know, everything will be fine. You know, where it is, and people are looking for whatever it is that they believe, and it's typically something in the natural realm, and something material, if it's just the right job, if it's just the right material possession. And a lot of times they put this on a person. They're looking for that perfect person. If they just have that person, that person will make up for the deficiency in their own heart. It doesn't happen. And so they put that judgment even out there, and that expectation even out there, and that in and of itself becomes their bondage for this day, because they're looking for something that is external, when the kingdom of God, as it says in Luke 17 verse 20 and 21, the kingdom of God is within, and the resolution needs to take place within. The freedom needs to take place within. You and I have to be set free within from whatever the bondage is that's been holding us. Because in being set free from that, you don't need the fallacy anymore. Come what may, whatever it is that comes in your path, if you're walking with him, you will take it as a blessing. You receive it with pure joy, because the resolution and the fulfillment is within, and you realize the external reality is just an illusion anyways. The people that you face, the people that you see, are an illusion anyways. None of it is real. All of it is transitory. All of it is passing away. You just happen to be in this reality as such for a season of time. And if you can go through it in a way that God, you allow him, his will be done, to set you free from the programming and the thinking, then you can actually experience what he intended for you to have while you're here. See, God did intend for something specific as far as your experience in this life. He intended for you to connect with him, be set free in him, go on the way with him, have the adventure of life that he laid out for you, fulfill the purpose and the destiny that he called you unto, to walk from darkness into light and to live in that light and to transit from that walk into an eternal reality. He intended all of that for you, but it takes on your side a willful surrender to that, and also an embracing of that process, which is painful. See, the process that Christ takes us through to set us free, it is a painful process, because part of what that involves is a death to self, is a facing, just like, you know, back to the mirror again, is a facing in the mirror of who you really are apart from him, and a full revelation of who he is and your condition and your state, and allowing him to deal with all of those things that are there, all of those deep, dark secrets, hidden corners, things, to set you free from that. You know, you have to go through that process. And so it's an embracing of that rather than a running away from that. See, you get different reactions, but two main ones that people will have when faced with that. Either somebody will say, okay, Lord, my life is an open book to you. I welcome the floodlight of the Spirit of God in my soul. Have your way. Show and reveal anything and everything. I just want you. Or you can get the reaction of, well, a point blank refusal, goes back to the world, wants to live in darkness. Or you can get somebody that says, look, okay, Lord, I do want you because I realize, I do want that, but here are these rooms that are closed off. Here are these places that I would rather you don't go or anybody goes, and I'd rather keep this to myself or deal with this in my own way because it's too painful, too hard, too much to deal with. Or they just don't want to be. Sometimes people like that. When somebody has something they can pull out of the closet and use it as an excuse. For example, say someone was abused. You know, okay, now I've got my excuse for every dysfunction that ever comes in the later parts of my life. Because if that's not dealt with, because they're like, oh yeah, because this happened when, you know, you were 5, 10, 15, 25, 45, I don't know. Say somebody, the family's broke up. Say someone's got a drug addiction. Say whatever. But if that's held, rather than allowing the Spirit of God to deal with that, then now that becomes, in that person's own heart, own mind, a license for whatever. Whereas God intended that they be set free. See, the process of being set free, one part of it is that you and I come to the Father openly and honestly and basically just lay it all down before Him. And when you come before Him and you put your life there in front of Him, say, Lord, this here, this is me. This is what you're struggling with. It's not necessarily you. And this is, again, partly, we talk about this a bit, is the difference between what's you and what's not you. But this is where you're at. These are the things that you're struggling. These are the things that have affected you. These are the things that you are, that are keeping you from freedom, keeping you from abundant life. You're afraid. If you're afraid, just put it out. It's like, and then what are you afraid of? Yeah. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that, you know, because God will call people into things and they won't go. Well, why not? You know, I went through a sermon recently where just talked about how Abraham was God's second choice. And the first choice was Abraham's father, which was Terah. You go back and you check the scriptures out around Genesis chapter 11 and 12. Terah was God's first choice. But he stopped off. He got off the wagon when God was doing something. And basically he just settled down in one spot. He was on the way to Canaan, but he stopped. And lived 205 years in that spot and then died. God passes the charge off to Abraham. Abram, who later became Abraham. So, why would somebody be afraid? It's wrestling with those things. It's bringing them out there. And you know what? A big part of why people are afraid is because they don't really trust God. They really don't have faith in Him. Sure, if they're in a safe context, but do you really believe that He will do what He says He would do when you have armies closing in around you and gunfire and all? And then do you believe in His protection? Are you looking for some arm of man to help you and to save you? You know, do people really believe the truth of what He said? So in the fallacies of the world, part of what is necessary is to be set free from your own expectation of what you believe life should be. See, the world says, okay, life is fulfilling if it's this. And the reality is, life is fulfilling if you are in connection with the Father, and in place with Him and what He's doing, and in the middle of the plan and purpose that He has for you. That's where your fulfillment will be. Not in anything that the world will ever do. You know, how many people take a job hoping that the job will be the means to their fulfillment? So they're like, okay, I want to go help kids in Africa. And then they go take a job with Save the Children or some NGO like that. And in the end of it, they're like, well, I'm doing some, you know, logistics management in some place. I mean, this isn't what I thought it would be. I thought I'd be, you know, helping these kids in Africa. And this, but because there's an idea in their head of how they thought that thing is supposed to work, and they're looking for that fulfillment to be provided by that employer and that job. No, a company hires somebody because the company itself has its own objectives, its own agenda, and it brings somebody in and puts them in that position because that person, by doing that position, will help them fulfill their own agenda that they have. And also, they keep a person on that payroll as long as the value that they add is greater than what they take out of the company. If a person's value that they take out of the company is more than the value that they add, that's when somebody gets fired. So, by and large, now you can have some kind of political coups or whatever within, but that's the way the world works. You won't find your fulfillment in a natural job by a worldly company or worldly organization. What you will find fulfillment in is being in step with what God is doing. And if you do work where He puts you. If you do something, be sure that it's in step with what He would have for you. And He'll show you. There may be seasons where you don't work at all, where you don't have a paycheck at all. And then in that season, you'll have to just trust His provision because it'll be there for you. It'll be real. But otherwise, you to look for it in the world, you're going to be incredibly disappointed. And then what happens is people just kind of settle down and say, okay, well, maybe this is what all life will be. And then they have some kids, and then they try to live out their fulfillment through their children rather than them doing it themselves. Because it didn't happen for them, so let me now superimpose this onto my young budding children and let them be the fulfillment of my dreams, and I will surely let them know when they fail to meet my expectations. Sounds familiar. No, but it's what happens when see, if you are not in step with God's purpose and plan for your life, you know it. And when you know that, there's a dissatisfaction that you have with life. And you end up punishing other people for your own dissatisfaction and your own lack of fulfillment and your own animosity because you are not in step with Him. So you're out of position with what God's doing, and now because I'm out of position and I'm miserable, I'm going to make somebody else miserable. Yeah, misery loves company. The world loves company. Wants to take everybody with them. Greased pole to hell. It's the desire is to pull people in. So now, but see, when you are okay, when you're, look at it on this side, when you're in step with what God is doing, and you're in position with Him, and He's setting you free, and you have the need of your heart met by Him, you're not going to be angry at people. Why? It's done away with. You're not going to be. You have no desire for anything in this world, anyways. So it's like, oh, they take it. Okay, they took it. So what? Now God will have for you to have wisdom and discernment in the situations you're in. You know, and He will quicken you to that. But you're not locked into anything in your heart while you're here. And so when the world tries to game you, when the world tries to scam you, when the world tries to take that which on a natural level should be rightfully yours, you can bounce through, forgive, keep moving, and move on like that. You're okay. So when people are looking for something in this world to fulfill them, well, one, it's a form of idolatry in exalting something in the natural that ultimately won't fulfill the needs of your heart and your spirit. So if you can get that one, you'll save yourself 20 years of life in trying to achieve something that in the end there's no fulfillment. I remember a quote I read one time. I can't remember who said it, but it said it's a sad thing to see a man work his entire life to gain something he finds out he never really wanted. You know, and it's true. It's when you see people that strive and fight and devour and destroy other people just to get to something that they thought would fulfill them, and they finally get it. And when they get it, it's empty. And they realize that emptiness in that process. I mean, there's a reason for all the drugs and alcohol and illicit sexual activity and all that, because people are just trying to dumb down the pain of an empty life. When people are not in step with what God is doing with them, they try to fill that void with something, anything. And then that's just another destruction process as well. See, people ultimately need Christ. They ultimately need to be connected with their Father, with their Creator. They need, it's the need of the heart. It's the remedy. It's the antidote to the global problem that all of mankind suffers with. But the reason that, again, think about it too, the world doesn't want antidotes getting out. On so many levels, the world is creating viruses like H1N1 and AIDS, and I mean these are man creations to destroy populations, to destroy people. They don't want on a natural level people to get well. They don't want on a spiritual level for people to get well. The whole goal of the world system, even from the very first verse we read, was to rob, steal, kill, and to destroy. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10 verse 10. So God intended that we would have life. The world system intends to rob, to steal, and to destroy you if at all possible. And both of them are looking to you to make a decision to choose this day whom you will serve, and then to receive in yourself the consequences for your choice, be them life or be them death. Now, the thing is if you choose to go with Christ, then that's what you will receive, and it'll all have to come on His terms. And if you choose to go with the world, then that's what you'll get all the trimmings that the world has to offer for whatever way they want to do you for now, and then you may get some time that you're up and then it's going to smash you, whatever. But if you go with God, one thing you can be sure of is that the entire system that you are in and around and all that's there is going to turn on you, and it will be just Him sustaining you and carrying you through, but you'll always be protected in Him. He'll always take care of you. But you have to trust Him in that. That's why Jesus said, if any man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for service in the kingdom of God. You have to, when you put your hand to this thing, keep going. Keep going, keep plowing, keep moving forward. Don't look back. That's the call. The walk is to persist, to keep moving. You know, it's like you may have times where you feel tired, you may feel down. Bring that to Him, but keep going with Him. If you fall, get up. Keep going. You know? Okay. So, alright, so fallacy of perfect life, though, just overlying topics, celebrity, wealth, perfect relationship, fear, all of those things, just empty. The life that we were called to is found in Christ. The life that you were made for is solidified in Him. That's what you're looking for. It's not something external. That's something that takes place within. So you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do something in the natural as such. All you have to do is, in the quietness of wherever you are, to bow your knee before the Creator and say, Lord, I'm here. What? I just need to know You. I want to be aligned with You. And will You meet me where I'm at? And I need You. If you can start there, He'll meet you there. But it has to come with an honesty and an openness of heart. And what happens is, when internally those things become aligned, your entire way that you relate to the external reality changes. And it's a beautiful thing, because the very things that were bondages to you yesterday are now melted off of your life. And He can set you free from that. The things that were painful, the things that were things that held you captive in your own mind. Because see, we get held captive by our own thoughts. You can be set free from those. And here's something important to understand. Your thoughts are not who you are. The way that you think about yourself is not who you are. Yeah. If you can register that, and if you can sort through that, okay, if I get a big slice on my arm, okay, and I've got a scar that's here on my arm, okay, is that scar me? Well, I've got it there. You know, I'll have it with me for the rest of my life while I'm here, but is that scar me? No, I got a scratch on the car, but the real person is within. The real soul is within. The real soul is connected and alive in Christ. I get a new body when I'm done with this one and when I'm out of this world. That's not me. The way that I think about that is not me. If I can allow the Spirit of God to reprogram my mind as such, because your mind is programmed a certain way by the world system, if you accepted the program that it gave you, it's got you. I mean, think about it. How many people accept the mind control that they're fed? I mean, let's take a really, really amateur like one. Just say in this country, with the things that happened towards the end of the war. How many people, now you and I and the people that were close to the ground situation and knew things that were going on, know the difference between what was actually taking place and what was given to people in the media. In a state-sponsored, state-controlled, government-regulated, dictatorship-level media, you know the difference. But how many people just believed to this day the party line, and this is all that's there, and they accept it, they swallow that. Now, is that true? But they can live in that delusion for their entire existence here. But that's not necessarily the truth. But if the truth was there, would they really want to know? If they knew who did what to whom where, if that video came out on YouTube that really showed what ended up happening in this place and that place, and somebody saw it, would they even believe it? But people a lot of times don't want to know, because what happens is they allow themselves to be programmed a certain way, and they believe the programming is them. They believe the way that they were programmed is who they are. And so they beat themselves up even based on their program. And none of it was real. The program's not real, and the way they're beating themselves up is not real. Okay, so you're programmed as a child. If you do this and you don't do this, then you're a good kid or you're a bad kid. All right. And then you do this or you don't do that. And now you are a good kid, or now you are a bad kid. And so if you're a good kid, you believe, okay, now I'm this good kid, and so now I'm worth God's love. And I am okay, and I'm such and such in society. And I'm, lie, wrong. And if you did the other one, and you thought, okay, now I'm a bad kid, and I'm a throwaway, and I'm a reject, and I'm, no, lie, wrong. You see what I'm saying? Both of them are illusion. Neither of them is real. None of it's real. What's necessary is that a person align with the Spirit of God, and your reality comes from Him. Your thinking comes from Him. See, people get into this dichotomy where they believe, okay, if it's not this, then it has to be this. Yeah, two extremes. So if you're not a bad kid, then you're a good kid. If you're not a good kid, then you're a bad kid. Well, tell me which one is, who's good enough for perfection? Which is Christ. Ah, okay. No, all of... Yeah, no, seriously, bro, yeah. No one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one gets there. No, so it's an illusion. It's a program illusion that people get stuck with. The whole church system is based on that. It's based on a programming. And so then what happens is that people get caught up in it, and they use man-made guilt and shame for something you did when you were five, and will use that to control you all the way till your grave. Versus somebody being properly aligned with the Father, knowing who they are. You know, it's so cool when you see somebody that, say, for example, was just stuck in drugs for the last 40 years. Actually, they don't live that long most of the time. 30 years. But just stuck in drugs for 30 years, and their life was just destroyed and ravaged by that stuff. And then God opens up their heart and their mind, and their eyes are open to who He is, and they get aligned with Him, and all of a sudden, through all of that brokenness that they've experienced in their life and all of the stupid things that they did, now the Spirit of God flows through every crack in that broken vessel and just pours through them and heals lives of so many other people and makes out of that person something beautiful. Now there's no place for that person in the world system. But there is a beautiful, wonderful spot for that person within the kingdom of God and what God's doing. See, God loves the throwaways. He loves the ones that are, that his people are the ones that the world, it's because the world can't get their hooks into them, the world ostracizes them and pushes them out in the first place. Because those souls are not for sale, well, the world says, well, okay, then, you know, you don't have position in the world. But God takes those. Those are His. And plus, those that are trapped in the world system right now that really are His, He wakes them up in His time and pulls them out. But in the process of being pulled out, we're called to freedom. God's called for us to be liberated in Him. And it's a place where, and it's something you should ask. You should say, okay, am I truly free to do whatever it is that the Father has for me to do? And if not, why? Where are you bound? Where is it that you are suffering from limitation to be able to follow the will of God in your life. What's missing there? And let Him deal with those things. See, this is where you got to take some time and get away with Him and pray. And this is again where it's personal. This is between you and Him. No minister, no person that's got a title, no book that you read, none of that can do that for you. This is between you and your Creator. This is something that starts in a place where in the desire and the depth of who you are, you say, Lord, you made me to be free. You came to set the captives free. This is the purpose that you came for. And I desire that freedom. So, where to from here? And you persist in that until that revelation is made clear. There's certain things for myself that even I knew about myself in the way that I thought about life, but I also knew was a limitation because it wasn't the way that God thought. It wasn't the way that He saw us. He saw life. He saw this time in this world. And one thing for myself, anytime I would encounter something like that, I would want to be set free from it because I saw that limitation, just like the mirror, it bounced back on me. That judgment that was passed out there, I saw how that it would bounce back to me as well. That same measure would come back to me, and that would be a limitation in my own freedom, in my own walk through this life. And my desire is to experience the maximum that God intended for me while I am here in this life. You know, it's like if there is a maximum life to be lived, wouldn't you want to live it? If there is a maximum that this life can be, wouldn't you want to know what that is for every day that you're here, for every breath that you breathe? And why would you want anything less if there's more that's available? But it comes on His terms. So in the process of it coming on His terms, you and I must yield. And you and I must learn to yield. And you and I must learn to run into the light, because there's freedom in the light, even if it's difficult, even if it's painful, even if it's something that it may not be, it isn't, you know, at times an easy thing at all, but it is the place of freedom. And He came that we might be free. So, gosh, so time goes quick. Okay. So let me just do one more verse and then we'll stop. John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John chapter 3. Start at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Okay, so basically kingdom people and people that are on the way, on the track with Him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. People that are on that track with Him are people of light. And they are sent into the world, like John 17 said. You know, Jesus said, He said, Father, I'm going to send them into the world. Just like You sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. So we're sent into the world and into the world's, like, into a hostile environment. You're sent into the world as people that embrace the light. So you do shine in this place of darkness, and because they don't like they don't want to come into the light, period. And when you come in shining, they want to knock you down too. So realize that that's there. But for us, for those that are, the goal for us and the desire for us is to live in the freedom that God created us to be in. Well, part of that is that you surrender every area of your life to Him and allow Him to work on any of those things that He shows and He reveals. And as you do that, you transition out of whatever it is that's remaining from your time in prison while you were in captivity into abundant life that He intends that you and I live each and every day while we're here. So time is up.